The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, world, and welcome to Black Mental Matters, episode number 29. I'm Vince the Voice, along with Makiba Reed Johnson. We work to eradicate the stigma as it relates to mental health in the Black community. We thank you so much, and first of all, want to pray and hope everyone's okay during this pandemic. It is just something else, huh? And we've got some past shows, if you look into the library of archives, that talk about, you know, how to deal with depression up in your household, or how to maintain your mental health during this COVID-19 pandemic, and encourage you, if we can help, reach out to us. We're going to give you some hope today, because another mission of ours is to encourage more young people to get into the field of mental health as a career. And Makiba is just tickled pink as we interview one of her past mentees, students who has gone on and is continuing her pursuit to help as many as she can, Miss Asia Jones. And hopefully you'll enjoy this program, and we just thank you and pray for you. This is it right now. It's Black Mental Matters. It's Black Mental Matters. How you doing, everyone? It's Vince the Voice, along with Makiba Reed Johnson, MRJ. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, Vince. How about yourself?
Are you excited like that?
You know, sometimes I gotta fake it till I make it, you know?
Well, the crowd is going crazy. They're so glad to hear from you again, Makiba.
Thank you.
We're doing okay. We're all again in the midst of this super duper, COVID-19, coronavirus, and I hope everybody out there is doing okay. You know, I know you and your family's well, right? You're safe right now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are holding down the fort. Yeah. How about over there with you guys? You guys are okay?
Yeah, we're doing okay. Just eating too much, you know, and monitoring each other too much. Did you eat that last cookie? Girl, you know we ain't kind of more talk about mental matters.
Right.
So, but in reality, you know, this program today, that's as a result of all this, and we don't know how much longer we may be living this reality of being isolated and social distance and things, that it's going to increase the need for mental health awareness, advocacy, all those kinds of things. What do you think, Makiba?
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. This, what we're undergoing now, it's actually making people realize how much they need to have some type of support system for their mental health, whether they were already experiencing mental health issues before, or this isolation and the financial problems that now people are having, not being able to go to work, if that's exacerbating them. Some people are now home and unhealthy atmospheres, and their home environment is not conducive to their mental health. So it's definitely going to be worse after we come out of this, unfortunately.
And I would encourage everybody to kind of, if you will, go to any of the podcast platforms. We've done programs, the past program, you know, on how to deal with it in the house right now during this particular time, and supporting those who have some mental health issues during this time,
because
it's real in the field, right? It's real in this
absolutely.
Field.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. People just need to be more cognizant of not only how they're taking care of themselves, but how you are responding and reacting to the people that you're quarantined with. I mean, people just really need to be self-aware right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, the revelation, though, has come to me finally, and you know how he is. Hey, it's going to be opportunity time coming up. Yes, it's down, and we hate being in this situation, but there's going to be some great, great opportunities presented as this thing fleshes itself out. And one of those opportunities, I believe, and I would dare say you too, is that there's going to be opportunities for people in this mental health arena to really be able to use their talents and help others. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this might help move that needle a little bit more to address that disparity of the number of, especially African-American professionals that are out there in psychiatry and psychology, and the growing number of Black Americans that need mental health support that aren't getting it, and also the importance of having a therapist that looks like you and understands your background and is able to relate to the things that you're going through culturally.
Well, I know then that this episode right now is very important to you because one of your former a mentee. She was just somebody you fell in love with, and then
she's so precious.
I'm asking her, come online, everybody. We want you to introduce to you right now, without further ado, Miss Asia Jones of Asia Jones Productions. Hey, Asia.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing great. Look,
Makeba's
crying. And
I'm trying to hold back my tears as well.
So Makeba or Asia, but whichever, I mean, tell everyone this wonderful story of how you two even came to have this great relationship of just tears and love and beauty and all that good stuff.
I gotta go first, Asia. I'm sorry. I'm the hype man over here. I've got to just build you up because I just think you're so amazing. So I met Asia when I was at Spelman College. I was an advisor over a peer support group called Peppers, and they offered mental health advocacy and awareness on campus. And that's where I met Asia. She was a member in that organization, and Asia blew me away with her level of advocacy and awareness and the work she was doing on campus and her story that she was so courageous to share and to tell other students. And she was doing so much work with not just within the student organization, but with talking to students, getting students resources, pointing students in the direction of where they needed help, especially when you're dealing with academics. I think this was what was so important from my end as an advisor and as a professor too, because higher ed is structured to be stressful. So you are sort of fighting the thing that you're already sort of promoting and supporting, which is higher ed, and you're having to navigate those academic waters to help people, because the number of students that are dealing with mental health issues across campus, that's one thing. And then you have these little advocates that are on campus that are not just, you know, pointing the way, but are sticking with it and making a difference and choosing a career path in it as well. So not only was Asia an advocate, but she was a campus superstar because she went, she went and she finished school and she continued on. She had these pins that she created, these Black Mental Health Matters pins. And I think I used to get them in maroon and baby blue at the end of every semester, and I would give them to all the students. And that would help spark and ignite that dialogue of, hey, you know, this is what this is about, and it's okay to talk about your mental health. So Asia has just been so instrumental in pushing this dialogue forward and creating space for people to feel comfortable talking about their mental health. That's why I'm just honored to now be on the phone with her and to talk about the great things that she's doing.
Wow. Hey, Asia. Oh my God. Asia of Asia Jones Productions, and so it began for you there at Spelman. Talk about your journey, Asia, because now are you going for your PhD? But let me not get ahead of myself. Talk about your journey, Asia, and what as a young person got you excited about this whole world of mental health and awareness and advocacy, and now as a professional.
My journey first started after high school. I wanted to go to an instrument by college. So I got into Spelman, and there was, so where I grew up at in New York, it was a predominantly Black and Hispanic neighborhood. The majority was Indian Hispanic. However, our town is in a predominantly white county, and we noticed as students how the other districts and other schools have more resources for guidance counseling, They had psychologists in the school. Meanwhile, for our school, we lacked those resources. So the school psychologist was fired. There was a lot of other things going on in the community. And plus, us being majority Hispanic and Caribbean, in the culture, it's not, mental health was not a common discussion.
Right, right.
So I saw a lot of my peers and myself, people try to find a lot of, we were using a lot of negative coping mechanisms to try to handle what was happening around us, whether it was using excessive violence, whether it's substance use. Seeing how myself and my peers at the house were depleting, once I was graduating high school, I was like, you know, this is something that I would want to change. And the idea really came when I was finally able to go see my own psychologist my senior year. And she happened to be a Black woman. And me being in the room with her, and her being able to explore what was discomforting to me every day, I feel kind of regretful, because in my head I was like, you know, I wish my other friends had the same opportunity.
So was this a psychologist that was at your school, or this was a psychologist that you were seeing privately?
So this was a psychologist that I was seeing outside of the school. It was in the community, but it was outside of the school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind me asking? I mean, what was it that made you, to go see a psychologist at that time?
So at that time, I was going through a traumatic experience that happened when I was 15. And after the traumatic experience, I started noticing that I was changing in a way, but I didn't know how to explain the change.
Mm-hmm.
So to everyone else, it seemed like I was being very withdrawn, I was moody, but then I couldn't get any sleep, I had nightmares every night. At the time, it was scary because I didn't know how to explain it. And like, I would be in classrooms to get my body to look like I'm elsewhere, but I couldn't, I didn't know how to tell anyone that, because I didn't want to seem like, quote unquote, crazy to certain people. When I finally went to go to the therapist, she was like, oh, like, you know, this sounds like you meet the criteria for social anxiety, PTSD, and depression. And I was like, oh. You know, like a light bulb went out. And then when I was doing my own research, that's when I tried to get an understanding of what was going on with my mind. And it made me feel a lot more comfortable in my own skin. And it made me think also, like, you know, how many of our other peers may have something similar, but because we don't have those resources or have these discussions, they may never know.
Wow. Bravo to you, Asia, for
absolutely.
Like you say, you're not alone. Me and Makiba, we had our issues, and we still do, you know, that we deal with. And that's part of the reason for this Black Mental Matters podcast, to let people know that you're not alone when you go through these traumatic situations. But my hat's off to you that as a youngster, you went on and went on to go get some help and wasn't worried about it.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, it's a tough time, you know, it was tough trying to admit to yourself that, okay, something is odd here, I need to go seek that help. Because again, like in that community, it's more so, okay, like, well, you're part of this culture, you should be able to handle this on your own.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
With very, a strong
very
woman, yes.
Mentality. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what was that the turning point, Asia, where it clicked for you that, okay, this is something that I want to major in school and college, and I want to make a difference? Awesome.
Yes, because not only was that the same year, my senior year, when I went to go see counseling for the first time, but it was also the year that I happened to take a college-credited psychology course at school.
Wow.
And I just loved the course. Like, I was acing all the quizzes and all the tests, but I was literally, like, in tune with the topics and the subject. And I was like, you know, this is something I could really combine into, and I could see myself doing this moving forward. And at first, I was getting discouraged because they have like an image of psychology majors as them not being able to make any money or them not being well off after graduating. But I just say to myself, you know, if I really see myself being a therapist for other Black and Hispanic kids, this is something I need to pursue.
Absolutely. And what you did, Asia, is you're underscoring what this entire topic is about, because you saw someone who you could relate to at an early age when you needed it. That's what sparked something inside of you to say, hey, this is something that I want to do. you know, as a career, and I want to make an impact in the world. If you had not had that experience, you probably wouldn't be where you are right now. And so many young people of color never get the therapy that they need, and they're, you know, when they get into school, their whole mental health journey is, well, hey, you need to deal with this so you can finish college, so you can go make a lot of money doing X, Y, and Z that's going to make your family proud. And then exactly. that whole thing of what they're dealing with is just kind of covered up.
Yeah.
I'm here looking at your website, and we're going to take just a short pause for the calls, but I love this. I really, allowing your heart to be open for display is probably one of the scariest things you could ever do, but so necessary for your growth as an individual. I love this whole article about I'm afraid of being vulnerable. Oh my gosh. Such a powerful message. Yeah, it's at AsiaJonesProductions.com. We have the Asia Jones on the phone. Makiba, you need to cry rap for moment, Makiba, you want to cry? Go ahead. Cry into the break. Go. We'll be right back. Oh my God, it's Asia. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll be back in a moment. It's Black Middle Matters. Well, we're back, and I finally got all my crying out, Makiba, because Asia's on the line with us from Asia Jones Productions. It's Black Middle Matters. She's just so proud of her baby that had grown up to be just
fine.
Yeah. Well, Asia Jones, again, you were telling us a story with the Spellman. And so you're back in New York now, right?
Yes. So right now I am in New York. I'm currently completing my master's program in mental health counseling.
Okay.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
Thank you.
As a young person, I mean, we talk about this because one of our missions is to advocate for young people, more young people to get into this field. And I know that's, again, why Makiba is just so excited and everything. I mean, what would you say to some of the young people out there? I already know the answer, but talk about why this has been such a great journey for you.
It's been a great journey for me for two main reasons. One, not only being able to obtain knowledge to speak about mental health in our community, you know, being able to have those resources, being able to have information to spread it, but also it's helped myself a lot, learning more about who I am, you know, going through the courses and finding out certain things that, oh, okay, yeah, so this, I do that sometimes. Maybe that's because this happened to me when I was a kid, you know, or just having a better understanding of, oh, okay, maybe I do this because I'm trying to run away or I'm trying to cope with this issue. So it gives you, like, such a self-awareness, and it makes you so self-aware. It's been helping me a lot. So for those two things, they've been my biggest takeaways, my absolute biggest takeaways, because also once you become more self-aware and you start picking up on certain things, you're still able to spread information for other people because they may be going through the same thing.
Absolutely. And then that ripple effect of, you know, once you are healing other people around you because you're not reacting from PTSD or that toxic environment that you internalized or something that's happened to you. And now, you know, you're unconscious of how you're treating or how your behavior is affecting other people. So this
Absolutely.
Is so important. And what I love about your career journey as a student, Asia, is I was just blown away by your stick-to-itiveness because, number one, Spelman is not an easy school. I know that you were sitting there with your head under the books. And for you to come through that and to now be in grad school and you are still sticking to it, you are getting ready to finish this program, what advice do you have for other students? Because this is the whole thing with this profession. This profession draws people to it that have undergone mental health issues. So a lot of students that are interested in this, they're saying, oh, I want to be a psychologist or I want to have a profession or a career in mental health, but they're going through their own stuff. And that's why they're interested in this. And then
life is happening to them. They're not getting the support from the family that they thought that they'd have, or they're right. dealing with their own depression or their own, you know, general anxiety disorder or social anxiety or whatever it is. How do you encourage students to stick with this in spite of what they're going through academically and mentally?
So what I would say is, especially for a college like Spelman, one thing that I always tell myself whenever like I was going through something and still having to try to meet this quota at Spelman, trying to keep up with my grades, I would always tell myself, you know, sometimes being good enough is enough. Like, you don't have to be perfect. Because trying to get perfection is going to completely drain you. While you're dealing with, while you have everything else on your back, while you have a mental health on your back, while you have school on your back, but when you try to strive to be perfect for other people, saying like, yeah, I can handle all this at once, it's going to deplete you until you have nothing left.
Absolutely.
So like, sometimes good enough is enough, you know? Sometimes good enough is enough, no matter what
right.
anyone tells you.
As long and that as has to be your own
morning,
metric.
Yes. Exactly.
Right.
And you can't. In the morning, you can still be proud of what you've accomplished and what you've provided. That's okay. That is absolutely okay.
Vince, do you understand why Asia, Malaysia is phenomenal?
That little bit of knowledge right there.
That's what self-love and self-care and
yes.
healing, that's the root of, is not being held accountable to other people's expectations of you, because when you become aware of that, that's where a lot of your healing with the stuff that you're going through begins, especially when you think about the increasingly rising number of not just college students, but people in general that are dealing with anxiety. Anxiety is now the number one mental health issue. And it used to be depression, but now it's anxiety. And anxiety is right. And especially in this thing that we're going through now with the quarantine, and
absolutely.
You know, people are concerned about their jobs and, you know, returning back to school, and can I afford this, and is this going to happen to me next week? Am I going to be able to pay?
You're right.
Exactly. Right. And for people to just understand, you got to take it day by day. You can't get up every morning with the expectation of, okay, how does somebody else see me, or who am I comparing myself to? But just the fact that you woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that needs to be the thing that you start with every day. And you used to write about that. I used to read all your blogs, Asia, just want you to know, I'm just the Asia Malaysia super fan. You used to write about that. I used to be like, oh my God, she's so self-aware. You used to talk about the importance of not measuring yourself by other people's measuring stick or their expectations, because you will always come out last and you'll always feel bad about yourself. There's no win in that.
There's none. There's absolutely,
absolutely.
None. And you see that a lot on college campuses too, because, you know, you have some colleges, they expect students to be a certain way, or you have to meet students from all different areas of the world, and you have to wonder, okay, well, am I good at, am I as successful, or am I as smart as this student, because this student went to this school, or this student went to this neighborhood, I'm from somewhere different, am I as successful as them, am I as good as them? It's a never-ending game. It's like a never-ending toxic game.
Well, no, it doesn't end when you become a graduate either, when you're out here in the real world. As a dad, as a husband, as a, you know, you're always... And that's, again, I go back to that being vulnerable blog post that I read from you. You know, so I'm going to be honest. I'm a little jealous, Asia. You all feeling all good about yourself. I'm over here tripping. But it's so I can just feel through the phone lines here. I mean, as how good that can make you feel to just be, you know, yes, you're vulnerable. Yes, no, I wasn't able to do that, or yes, I was able to do that. But whether you did or you didn't, you're still okay. Everything's okay.
Right. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love how Asia from the very beginning, and I don't know if you know that I noticed this, Asia, you had from the very beginning included PhD in your title, like
early on.
And I'm like, look at Asia. And you were speaking it into existence. You were going by somebody else's standard of, no, you don't have a PhD yet. You can, yes, you can. You can put whatever you want to in your bio or in your name. In your avatar, because that's your own metric, that's your own self-measuring tool that you have to have for yourself. And when you establish one for yourself, that makes it harder for somebody else to establish one for you.
Absolutely. Like, I remember there were a few days when I was thinking, you know, can I really get to a PhD? Can I actually get into a program? And whenever I saw the PhD in my name, I'm like, oh, no, that looks real good next to my name. Yeah, I could definitely do this. That motivation will come back.
So absolutely.
I know, Asia, that you're using the knowledge, you know, right now within your peer groups, to help them. I know you don't have the PhD yet, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. But it's coming. And so, I mean, how is that for young people? Are they receptive to you because of the journey that you're going on? Or just to talk about that a little bit. I mean, young people, they seem to be more receptive to mental health assistance and therapy and things like that, being woke and all that kind of stuff.
Right. There's, from my observation, people have been very receptive. What I've been witnessing with my generation is my generation has been, from what I've been seeing, becoming a lot more open-minded towards mental health awareness and advocacy. It's gone to a point where if I'm with a group of girlfriends, someone comes in late and they say, oh, I was just coming up with my therapist. And then someone else goes, oh, you know?
I love it.
It becomes a very comfortable, open conversation where compared to if I was in middle school and I came into the lunch table and said, yeah, I'm going to my therapist. Everyone probably looked at me like, you go to a therapist? So, you know, it's like things are shifting. Right. And I'm finding a lot of people becoming a lot more receptive towards that information. It's beautiful to see.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's beautiful to see.
Yes.
Now, speaking of support, Asia, I want us to also touch on, I mean, if you have time in this segment, then the impact of parents. I saw something that blew my mind a few months ago when I was doing something on social media, and we were having a discussion about advocacy and the importance of more Black people getting into the mental health profession, since there's this big disparity that we were just talking about. And then some psychology students, Black psychology students, were tweeting in response, hey, if you want us to stick with this career path, we have to start educating Black parents on the importance of them being the ones to support this, because a lot of students are really trying to, they might be the first generation to graduate from college. So all this pressure is on them. I've actually known students that have finished law school that have told their parents, hey, this is actually not what I was interested in, but I really was trying to make my family proud because this is where you all wanted to see me. Right. How can Black parents support you, the student who is on this career path, when in our mindset, doctor, lawyer, when we're thinking about sending our kids to college, oh, we're paying all this money to send you to school, you need to make family proud. How do you combat that with, hey, this is important to me and this is what I'm doing to make a difference, mom and dad?
Right. I think a lot of it, like the first thing that would need to be explored is, when it comes to mom and dad, is, what is it about those other careers that are so important, you know, to have that child follow it, you know? You know, like what's the driving force to really want this child to go to this career? Is it because of stability? You know, is it because of, okay, our family, our past family line, they've had a supposed low-income job, so having my child have this job could be a great successor. And, you know, sometimes it's not even selfish. It's more so like trying to protect your child, but trying to understand that core reason could unravel a lot.
That even applies to, Makiba, you know, I'm a vocational education advocate and worked, you know, with Job Corps and things like that. Yes. And you know, it's hard to convince parents a lot of times that, hey, I mean, nothing wrong with Junior, but he's a little better with his hands than he is with his, you know, mathematical ability. So why are you spending all that money to send him to that 4-year institution when he can go to this associate program and get his your certification, begin working? And if he wants to go back to school after that, that's fine. But we need folks in this arena. And Makiba will tell you, you know, my folks, Asia, originally from New Orleans. And when Katrina hit that terrible travesty, there there was no therapist, you know, for all those kids.
Oh, man.
When these things happen in our communities, there aren't therapists for these kids, you know, for what's happening. Yeah. So I'm taking my hat off to you again. And I don't even have on a hat, but I'm taking it off, Asia, because you're gonna be the guy that
we don't know that though.
You see me through the radio.
You can't see you.
You're gonna be the guiding light, and I'm just so proud of you for and Makiba for staying with you. Let's tell them how folks can find you, Asia. We've got a little bit of time left. How can folks find you? Get in contact with you. Give them those handles, if you will.
Yes. So everyone can find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Asia Jones Productions, and my official website is AsiaJonesProductions.com. My online store will hopefully be back open soon, and that link is AsiaJonesProductions.BigCartel.com. And my official Twitter page for the blog site is @AsiaJonesProd. And if anyone will like to talk to me further about wanting to apply to a graduate program focusing on mental health counseling or psychology, I would also be open to communicating with you all through my personal Twitter handle, which is Asia_Malaysia. Two A's.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much, Asia. Thank you so much, Makiba, for introducing the world to this phenom in the mental health, up and coming Dr. Asia Jones, right?
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this interview. Thank you.
We need more
like
you.
Thank you, Asia.
Yes, we need more like you.
Yeah, we do.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Stay safe, everyone. This is Black Mental Matters.